Hello, everybody.
Ready to get started?
Okay, we're starting now. This talk's going to be about clusters and high availability in Linux. I'll hand you over straight away to Sulamita, who's come over from Brazil, to present this talk. So we're starting there.
It's working. Hi, good afternoon. As he mentioned, I'm Sulamita. I work for EDS, and I'm also the leader of Linux Chicks Brazil. It's a chapter for the Linux Chicks International, which is a project for women and to bring more women working with Linux. And today I'm going to talk about some experience that I have in Linux clusters. This talk is about to have an idea that the cluster is not just about supercomputers. It's kind of loud. About supercomputers or beautiful or music. It's more like how can you build your own cluster for your own application, because there are several things that you need to consider when you want to build your cluster. Sometimes you don't actually need all the possibilities, so you can choose just yours and build a more faster and more reliable cluster. So let's start. What are clusters? It's a very common idea, but for emphasis, just let's say that a cluster is a set of computers that work as one. The user do not have an idea that what he actually is working with is a set of computers. The user just thinks this is just one big computer working and answering what the user is requesting. The clusters are divided in three kinds of clusters. The high performance computing clusters, which are the supercomputers, and those that are intended to increase the performance and the power of computing for some certain application. This involves that the application running on those supercomputers and this kind of cluster is aware that it's running in a cluster environment. So there is not just about creating a cluster with some of the software is available and running any kind of software. This software needs to be written to be run on a cluster. Another kind is the load balancing, when you have a set of computers that are going to share the requests of the client. So you have a certain type of service, and every time that a user requests a server, the cluster is going to designate some computers in specific to answer for that client request. And also you have the high availability, which means that the service is always responding. You can do that by load balancing, and you can just have a spare computer for the computer that you are serving some kind of service. I probably should warn you that, as you might think, English is not my native language, so if I say something that it's not quite you quite not understand, so will you please tell me and I try to make a better explanation. And also I prefer if you keep ask questions as in the moment that the subject is on, so you can interrupt me anytime for making questions.
Can we use the microphone?
And on this talk, as I don't have too much experience on high-performance computer, I'm going to focus more on the load balancing and high availability ones. There are a lot of ways to do that, so this is actually quite large a subject. Let's start with high availability. Why would you need to build high availability in your system? We are very dependent on digital systems. They control things, our electricity power from our bank account, the airlines, everything that you work in your day is depending on system, digital systems. So if one of those things just stop working, the consequences are can make cause a lot of problems. Even a simple service like an email server, when you have a stop for the email your email server, you can lose some clients' contacts, you can lose some deadlines, you can lose some sales or anything. And there is even this research that when the people do not have access on their emails, the productivity of them, they lost the productivity in about 40%. So people keep checking if the email is already working and do nothing else. And also when you are providing a service, you need to be sure that your service is going to be always working. When you sell something to your client, he's going to ask, yes, but this is going to be working on Sundays, on Christmas, on every time that I want it. And you can answer yes, or you can say him that, well, you know, sometimes computers broke and froze and something, but this is your client probably is not going to understand that, so you need to give a plus and be aware of the availability of your services. This also includes like a security subject. How to do you always be sure that your service is working, and if there is any problem, how can this service recover itself for this failure? Failure, because there is always a possibility of failures when you can have a physical failure when the electric system is not well hided, is not well built. So you might have some electrical power messing with your communication, and so you can have like an electrical you have some electrical power running next to your network cables, so you can, some of these things can change a value of a byte. Sorry, I'm kind of nervous. And so this can change the value of a byte. This a bit is just a electrical sign, so if this electrical sign is take as a wrong value, you can have a wrong value at the end of your application, and this can crash your system. So you need to be sure that your services are always online. The high availability classification is done by the number of nines that you provide in your service. Most of the computers built today have 5 nines, but when you try to do a high availability system, you are increasing the number of those nines. The availability equals 1 is hypothetical. Always there is a chance of failure. This is more theory. And how can we build an environment that we are trying to ensure that this service is always going to be running, is always going to be available? You can avoid failures for fault tolerance software, which are softwares very specialized and very complex and difficult to write, because they need to prevent if there is any single bit that changes the value and can change the data that you are trying to submit or to the code. You can do this by hardware. The hardwares that don't do this kind of tasks, they do a lot more than just trying to fix some problems in your communication. they can do failover, they can do some redundancy, but they are quite expensive. In this talk, I want to show several kinds of clusters that are more low budget. So, for to resume, have the ability to work with the possibility of a failure, and we do that by a simple unusual hardware that is not an expensive kind of hardware, that is the same hardware that you buy for ordinary services. You do the control of the services by software, and the machines are supposed to recover themselves. They are, do you need to ensure that if no one's interact do anything, the server is still going to recover itself from this failure. What do you need to think when you want to build a cluster? First, you need to think for what you want to do this this cluster. You need to improve the power of the service. You need to that the service answer faster, or you want to increase the number of requests and the number of clients, so you need more power to answer the requests. You need just to be sure that that service is not going to fail, but you actually don't have too much load. And what kind of tests can be done to be sure that this service is available? If this service is not available, what the task do you expect to be done? The service is going to be available in another server, or you are going to receive a message and you have to run to the server and do something, or the server can do everything itself. And what tools are you going to use to check and manage this environment? Examples of resources, you can have just a web server that you need, that is that the server is always running, is always up. You can have a link that you can share the load of your users into some two or more links. And while these two links, for example, are running, the clients are using the both links. If one of those links fails, you want to change all the communications to the another one. You can check how is the network card, if it's running or not, or you can manage the storage unit for all your network. Actions or tests that you can make: you can reload the service, you can reboot the machine, you can check if the file system is okay, if there is any failure, you can change the configuration, or you can notificate the admin, or you can do all the things together. A lot of hardware itself today already have ways to use this, like for hide system, or they provide some redundancy by the power, because the power there is something with the power supply, your service is not going to work. So, and they have two network cards, or they have some. The hide already took the service of replicating your data. But we can do the replication of data or the configuration in several other ways. How can you replicate your data? Your service is based on some kind of data that you want to take care of it. This can be information about your user, or it can be the files that your network is sharing, the users on your network are sharing. It can be just the messages that people are sending to each other, or it can be the one web server that has all the things that your customers are buying in one storage. So when you try to decide what you are going to take care of and what year you going to take care if the availability is high availability of the service. You need to think how much this data is going to change. Is this something that changed just one time of day, or that usually never changed, or something that changes every hour, every minute, or every second is important to you? This is going to affect which kind of tool you are going to use. Can you lose some data? For example, if you're just trying to be sure that your link or your firewall is going to always be online, so maybe you can lose one rule or another. But if you are taking care of a database, that means that there are some information about what your client has consumed or what they have bought. So you need to take more care about this. And also always think how much load the machine can have, because there's some tools that you can use can ask for more load of this the machine can take it. One of tools, software that you can use for replicating data is the DRBD, which means data replication block device. The DRBD is it's a kernel model which is you can build a hide one by network, so you have two servers, or maybe you can build into five replicating partitions, so you can have like two servers that share one single partition. You create this so anything that one server that has the management of that partition in certain point, if this application writes something on this partition, the other server is going to have the same data. But this works only for partition, not for files or directories. Also, it does not replicate the entire distribution, as some people sometimes send me questions about this. You cannot share. You cannot replicate the entire, the root file system, because you need to keep changes about the IP address processes. And
so, does this replicate? Oh, don't worry about it. I can talk later.
I think it's for the records.
So, does this data replication block device work over the network, or is it? Yeah.
You build two
between
servers.
Between the two separate machines. And
two separate machines.
Does it work, so you put the file system on top of that,
mm-hmm.
and then to the applications, the file system just appears as if it were an ordinary one.
Yeah.
And
you configure it, you create a partition. Then you said that as a DRBD, so they are the partition share is replicating to two computers, and then you wrote your file system, and the application just see the file system.
And it's nice and reliable and doesn't corrupt the data?
No, I never faced that, and the developers made reports about several environments that they share like 2 terabytes. And it just works well.
Thank you.
Yeah. But that includes taking care of your machine is going to handle this kind of application, because this really takes this is quite heavy for the server. Once I have to help some person that was trying to build a high availability environment, which has four hard disks with 200 gigabytes each one. But to do that, the controller was on board, so that not happen. There was too much load for the process and the bus.
So you just put one disk on one IDE bus?
No, there was, and that time it was four disks for each server. So you, for in that application, he wanted to create one disk for like an LVM, but we also tried just four partitions and did not work it too because there was too much load for that kind of hardware. You can measure just two nodes at a time, but you can manage until five measures of the partition. And you can choose when your data is going to be replicated. You can choose some levels. I think this is on the next slide. But you can choose if there is going to be immediately or some seconds before after you wrote in the data on your partition that is going to be replicated on the other side. But it's highly reliable, so when you don't want to lose absolutely no data, so you probably need to go with TRBD. the data that is going to be replicated, keep it on this metadata, which is like a register for which is going to be wrote and written in the next node next the other mirror, and you can just take off almost 128 megabytes for this one. So once that you are setting your partitions, you need to be to remember this. You can. To specify just separate partitions to keep this data about controlling what data is going to be mirrored, or you can always be sure that your partition has extra space for do that. There is this recommendation, it's very recommended that you have a different link for just for this communication, because if you this to keep the mirroring always running, they are always checking if there is any new changes on the data. So this can be can also increase the load of your network, and so the network is going to compete with your DRBD communication. So if you have just one separate link for this communication, it's better. You can use any file system. The DRBG works in the lower level than the file system, and it's a great project with very few people, just two official developers. So if you want to contribute, this is a nice project to try it. But the DRBG don't know too much about the structures. It doesn't know about file systems or about files or register either. So it's just going to replicate some blocks. Once you write a file into the file system, this file is not necessarily is going to be just in one block. It can use several blocks. They are not necessarily continuous. So this is the file system task. But when you are working with databases, this can be a problem, because if the system crashes in the middle of a transition for write some data, you can end up with like half of a register for the database, and this can crash your entire database. And so what I recommend is that you use the most databases already have a way so you can replicate the data of this database. So it's probably better you use that instead of use just DRBG for example, Oracle or LDAP, they already have the ways of how maintain the data replicated and already have how to recover. And if the master dies, someone of the secondary can assume the control of the service. And they also share the load. So, for example, LDAP, I know that, and MySQL have how to load the shell already with this environment. For example, this is very simple for MySQL. You can just set on the master that this is going to be the server number one. So this means that this is the, once you start the application, this is the master. And on this slave, you just have to create a certain number of the just an query and set the which is going to be the server number one. This declare that this is going to be a slave. So in this moment, the slave starts to attend to have all the data that the master has, so it can continue with any transaction, any kind of request. And also, if the master dies, one of the slaves is going to automatically become the master and start to control the service. Another way can be with rsync. Rsync is intended to replicate the files and directories. You can just do update. For example, for DRBD, when you change some file, probably is not going to be just the block that the file changes. If it affects another block, you are going to write the file again. But with rsync, you can just check one file in the directory, and it's going to replicate just that file. You can, but you need to schedule in the DRBD things work on the command of the DRBD. But for rsync, you need to actually schedule them on the Chrome job or in your file or some shell script. This is a very low load, so any kind of machine can do it.
Quite high load on the server sometimes.
What?
Quite a high load on the server sometimes.
Well, it depends on the amount of data, I think, and how frequently you do the update. But I think once that you have all the data mirrored, you don't have too much load.
Well, I just see quite a high load average sometimes when it just seems to make it quite busy sometimes.
Yeah? Thank you. And but you can change permissions for you can specify permissions for users that can read some kind of can mirror some files or some directories. You can specify rules for some machines that can or cannot replicate the data. And the disadvantage is that you can lose some data. For example, if you schedule this rsync to do the updates every 5 minutes, if something happens in 2 minutes, it's probably you are going to lose some data that changes at that point. This is about how you handle with the data replication, because once some server fail and you need to make another server available, you need to have the same data. But how can you actually change a service from a machine to another? This is often done by Heartbeat. The Heartbeat checks if the other machine is available. They keep sending the machines which are in a Heartbeat configuration, keep sending signs if they are alive to each other. And if there is a server that do not answer, this heartbeat sign. There is some configuration which is going to say what the server that is alive yet needs to do. You can, for example, take back a IP or a service or something or something that you have configured. For example, you have a web server that's going to be answered by your website. So you keep checking if the main server is up. So if this is not up anymore, it's not answering. So you wrote in your configuration that this secondary server is going to take over the IP for your website and load the services. And then you have your website back again. The heartbeat also keeps sending this heartbeat in a time that you can configure. But if you have two small times during a heartbeat and another, you can have problems because the heartbeat has a very low priority. So if you change this heartbeat to be standing like for 1 second, and if in 10 seconds the server is not answer, the other server is going to start the service. Maybe you can have problems because as this protocol is very low priority, the server can be busy doing something else and is not going to answer you. So if you can end up with two servers running the same IP or the same service and keep fighting for who is going to offer the service, and that's not really what you want. There is this very small software that's called Mon, because the heartbeat can check if the server is alive but cannot check if the service is alive. You can check the service is answering the heartbeat, is answering the IP, but did not check if the Apache is really working or if the database is really answering. So you can have this extra software called Mon, which have several monitors and alerts, which always keeps checking if the service is running. It can connect to some kind of service to check if the user is still available to connect and get data. And you can also configure it to take actions if this service is not answering as it should. You can receive a mail or a pager saying that your service is down, or I'm going to change this service to the other server, and make any command that you can configure. So one entire environment involves data replication, which you can do by DRDB, RSync, or the schema made from the vendor of the database. You have the heartbeat to control if the servers are responding or there, and to take over the service. You can have Mon to just make more specific checks of your services. And for example, send an email to the administrator or restart some server or just stop heartbeat. Cluster for load balancing. This kind of cluster divides the requests among several servers, several machines. So this is intended to share the load and make it easily if a server may have failure, you can recover the service even so. It also makes it easy if you want to add more servers in your cluster or just take some then out of your cluster. The main project in Linux to build load balance environments is the Linux virtual server, where you can choose several algorithms for configuring your load balance environment. You can choose by priority. You can just say that one server is going to receive a request at a time. Or you can associate some values to the server, so one server can receive the double of the request of another server. And you can use a controller just to take care of the environment or not. This controller also can answer to the service if it does not have anything else to do. And can take care of, you need to take care of the data, for example. If you are just sending the request to several servers, you need to be sure that the data that you are sending, you are redirecting, they are they need to be persistent or not. For example, if you have a website for selling things and your client wants to buy something, it sends a request to buy this and is going to be answered by one server. But next thing, he's going to browse the entire catalog again. Then if another server answers that, he's going to lose what he had bought before. So we need to take care of the data is persistent. That some kind of applications you need to have to be sure that the client is going always to reach the same server. There is options for in the Linux virtual server, so you set the persistence. It's just a small option, -p. Another example is quite simple. For example, you can have the one DNS load balancing. You just put several IP addresses for answer the same DNS host. And then every request is going to answer a different IP address. So we have a lot of you have a very small load balancing environment, easy to build. For some applications, this can be useful. You can also, for example, create a load balancing directly with IP tables. If you can just set that some kind of traffic is going to be sent to several servers.
There's one. What role do layer 4 switches have in it?
Can you slow down?
What role do layer 4 switches have in load balancing?
What? Sorry.
Layer 4 switch.
Layer 4 switch? Oh, yeah, right. There is this you mean the Linux virtual server?
Yeah.
Because, well, in all the data, but in Linux virtual server you have the RP problem, and there is some options to you avoid this. Or to once that the server is going to enter some services is announced itself as the new owner of that IP address. There is some switch that do not understand that the old one, but in there is very few that has problems with that. But there is some options also in the Linux virtual server more than the other applications. To take care that once some server is going to answer by an IP address, it's going to also send the RP and renew the MAC address associated to that. That's not.
What I meant is that in situations such as with reverse proxying, you can load balance through layer 4 switches, but you still have the issue that you have to arbitrate the data that may be on one surface but not on another. Can that be done in this way as well? With
I lost the last phrase that you said of the problem in the reverse proxies.
Yeah, so you can have a an IP address that is for the service, and the switch does the load balancing for you. But you do still have to have another way of making sure that the data is then shared between
the data.
Sorry?
That content.
Essentially, yes. So I'm just wondering if layer 4 switching has a role to play in this, or can it have a play a role in making sure that the
I'm not sure if I understood the question, but it's not about the thing that I was talking about, the persistence, that sometimes you are sending the data and you need to be sure that the client is going to keep them till the end of that application. Yeah, so this is about the persistence. So you can have like persistence for a client or for a network. Like for example, some proxies that the proxies are, there are several proxies running before a client. So you never know. The client maybe can answer, can send a request to a proxy and the next request to another one. So you need to make sure that the data coming from that network also is going to be persistent. So every time that it receives a connection from that kind of that network, the same server is going to answer every time until that application ends. Yeah, but you can configure that. You can make sure that this is going to be done by persistence. So 5 minutes. I don't think I have too much. Okay, IP tables. Okay, yeah, this the last one. Just to remember what you need to replicate, how exactly it should be, if you need to keep the replication of every single data, or you can lose like some changes or not. If you need to replicate the data of your website or your database or just the firewall rules, and this is going to influence how much the load is going to be for that application and how much the load for that box. Which box do you need to buy to send this data? And take care about the network. This is not going to compete with all the traffic in your network. And if you schedule this, how frequently this is going to happen? So, just question.